It's 22 past 7 o'clock. Sitting in with us now is Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, today? Jeff. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you. It is. It's cold out.
It is. It is chilly.
Now, how did New Year's go in Rice County? Was it pretty mellow? Or?
Yeah, we really had a pretty good New Year's. We're happy. We had no serious injury crashes, and people, for the most part, behaved, took sober rides home, and we're just happy. It's always a little nerve-wracking this time of year, but we're happy to report that it was a good, uneventful New Year's, and hopefully happy for everyone.
Good to hear. Good to hear. You know, last time we had you on, you were warning people, don't go out on the ice. Be careful. Mm-hmm. It's not frozen yet. Well, I don't know if it's been above zero since the last time you come in. That ice has got to be pretty thick right now. Is it pretty safe? Are you having any incidents?
You know, and that's the other thing. With this cold weather and not a lot of snow and not a lot of above freezing weather, it's really pretty good. So I had a report from a fisherman yesterday that said there's 17 inches of ice on Cedar Lake. So we're starting to see vehicles drive out there now. Mm-hmm. And, just make sure if you're not familiar with the lakes, check with bait shops, those kind of things. Try to stay on the trails that other people have gone and drive nice and slow, because there could be new ice heaves, something coming up in front of you. So, pay attention and heed the warnings that I gave everybody last month about having float coats and ice picks and those kind of things if you're going to be out on the ice. And good luck fishing, because, I see a lot of people fishing over on Union Lake when I was coming up. So it's
Are they catching anything?
It looks like it. I mean, if people are going out there and they see more and more vehicles out there, I'm thinking the bite's on. But I might get yelled at by the coffee club from the big steer there if I give away all the good fishing spots. So,
all right, let's move on. There have been, and it seems like this time of year there always is, a lot of phone scams going mm-hmm. around the holidays. People get more generous, maybe less careful.
Yeah.
Have you had a spike in that this year?
You know, we're starting to see more of it. I've only, had to field a couple in the county, but I know Morristown, Faribault, and Northfield have had a few as well. One of them that I got was a person calling and the number, it came back number unknown, and then it's for an address or city. It said Rice County. Mm-hmm. So this person said, oh, it must be somebody I know. Answered the phone, and they won a lottery. And so I just need your bank records, so I can transfer the funds into your account. So please give me your bank records. And they're like, well, this is weird. I didn't remember signing up for a lottery in Rice County. And fortunately, they put two and two together and knew it was a scam. But we've had, other people that they call and say, I'm calling from the jail. Your grandson or granddaughter's been arrested. I need you to send the money. And unfortunately, they fall for that. And mm-hmm. then, lo and behold, grandchild is still at college and doing fine and not in jail. And then they just lost $10,000. Mm-hmm. So just if it sounds weird, err on the side of caution. If it's a scam like your son or daughter's been arrested, something like that, ask for the phone number for the jail, the address, all that stuff, then follow up with it, call back, and you're probably going to find out they're not in jail.
I was pleased to see in the national news, I think it was just last week, where the Nigerian prince scam. That's been around for a long time. They arrested the guy.
Good.
Actually, it was just an old man in Louisiana.
Oh.
So the making headway there.
Yeah.
Let's move on. There's a couple other things I want to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's the new year, as we'd mentioned. Yeah. 2018 is upon us. Your mm-hmm. budget all set. Does that look good? Are you pleased with the way things are shaping up financially in the department?
Yeah, I'm very, very satisfied. And thank you to the county administrator and the commissioners for working with us to bring a budget that, I think is going to work for us. And I know I shared it last year, Jeff, but we had not added any additional staff for the patrol deputies in over 25 years. So last year, The commissioners allowed us to hire three additional deputies. And then this year, we will be hiring two more. So one will be taking over as, we'll promote somebody to a sergeant's position later this year to take over the drug task force commander position, which is now held by Faribault PD. And then we'll add an additional deputy that will assist at the courthouse. And another thing that we're doing is we're going to be putting in a metal detector at the courthouse sometime this year. And so everybody coming into the courthouse will have to go through the weapon screening area. And, you know, we need somebody there. Plus, we still need deputies in the courtroom. So there's going to be a couple new faces coming on later this year at the sheriff's office. We're really excited. And that's going to help us immensely with, you know, because State Patrol goes off at 2-3 in the morning, and then when Faribault or Northfield or Lonsdale needs assistance, they're calling on the sheriff's office, and we want to be able to have adequate staffing for all the rural area that we cover, but, you know, obviously to assist the two larger cities in our county. So I'm very excited, and again, thank you to the commissioners for approving our budget and moving forward that way. So I'm really excited.
You know, we've talked to Chief Nelson here in town about the hiring process. There was a time where you'd put the help wanted ad and get a 100 applicants, and dozens of them were very good applicants.
Yes.
Are you getting a good application pool? Do you feel comfortable with, I'm going to put you on the spot here, who you're hiring and the selection process?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are definitely down, and, because there was such a, with the changes in the retirement program for law enforcement, we saw a high influx of retirements because the penalty if you retire early, went up to 5% for every year that you go early. So we saw a lot of people leave, and so that meant we had a lot of jobs out there. Mm-hmm. And we lost, you know, I mean, I've been fortunate to grab great candidates, but, you know, in the past I would probably have anywhere from 75 to 100 for one position. And now last year when I had three positions, I had 67. And so it's like, And then other people are hiring. Unfortunately, backgrounds come up, and if, you know, they've got something in their background that might prohibit them from getting hired. So, you know, it's a timely process. Backgrounds can take 2 to 4 weeks. The interviews and everything else, you know, 2 to 4 weeks. So you're looking at 3 or 4 months once you post a job before you even get somebody started. So it takes some time, but I'm excited. I know there'll be new young men and women graduating from college here in the spring, and we, you know, we'll be looking at those pool. In the past, we've a lot of times have you know, hired people with experience, but a lot of those people with experience are getting snapped up in other jobs. Mm-hmm. So we're having to hire younger people. So, but I'm very happy with our pool, and I think we've been very fortunate with the people that we've hired.
All right. I want to talk about somebody who's been in the news lately. His name is Antonio Washington from the Faribault area. I'm sure your law enforcement is familiar with Mr. Yeah. Washington. He has been accused of doing a lot of bad things, from being from domestic abuse to domestic terrorism, if that's the right word for it.
Tampering heroin. With witness.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was arrested by our task force for dealing heroin, and he bailed out, and unfortunately he was arrested again now for tampering with the witnesses and threatening his partner with it's pretty significant. And he's going to be back in jail and be coming back to court, and I'm guessing that hopefully the judge will raise the bail, and, you know, with these new charges, hopefully they'll keep him here in custody where he's not going to harm anybody else, and let him go through the court system and hold him accountable for all of these actions. And it's unfortunate that this person just seems to be compiling more and more charges, and you know, I think he needs to be held in jail where he's not going to be a threat to the general public anymore. And, I mean, significant bail. Obviously you got me a little speechless here, but yeah, I just, you know, you get those people that every once in a while that are, this person makes me a little nervous, and I think it's just fortunate that this victim was able to get away and get help. So yeah, his, I think his bail was $350,000 on the heroin charges. And so I'm anxious to see what is going to happen here. So, and he was able to bail out.
Now, this guy has been charged by a number of different law enforcement jurisdictions, if I'm not mistaken, including federal. And I think that's where is he going to be facing federal charges as well? How does this all get played out? Do they lump it all into one? Do the feds try him, then Rice County try them, or how does that work?
No, what excuse me, Jeff, what we'll do is, so we charge him with our charges. Because we feel that he was a significant dealer in the area, we will share this with the Attorney General and say, you know, is this something that we can take this person and federal charges? If they feel it meets the requirements and they feel that he is a person that is a significant danger to the public, then they'll take it. And then most likely, once they charge him in federal court, we don't usually follow through with state. We'll dismiss that and just go with the one, because it's kind of the same incident type and behavior. But we will most likely, I can't recall anywhere we've charged him both state and federally, or convicted him both state and federally. So, and I think that I haven't heard from the task force for sure, but I think that the feds are definitely looking at this case, and now with this probably solidifies it that he needs to be held federally accountable. And I do like that, because there's, I think, stronger sentences, and also they don't get the good time that they do in the state charges. So you sit the time. If you get 20 years, you're sitting 20 years.
All right. So, yeah, he needs to be sitting there for a long time if, in fact, he is guilty of all the things that he's being accused of.
We'll exactly.
Give him a fair trial first.
Yes.
There's one other thing I wanted to ask you about. You had a deputy Eastrum, that unfortunately had a house fire.
That's
last
correct.
Year. Talk about that and how it's going now. It's been quite a while.
Yeah, February 22nd, the evening, Derek and his wife were out visiting friends and relatives and delivering Christmas cards and gifts. And when they returned home, they found their house on fire. So Derek is not only a deputy, but he's on the Near Strand Fire Department, called 911. Near Strand, Faribault, and Northfield all responded to fight the fire. And they were there probably close to 6 hours to fight the fire. And basically they lost everything in the house. The frame is still standing, but everything, the floors collapsed into the basement, all of the appliances collapsed into the basement. So it was pretty sad to get there and see Derek standing there in his firefighting gear, just, you know, water frozen to him, ice all over him, and you know, to lost everything except what he had on his back and his vehicle in the shed. So, you know, I'm just glad that they were both not in the home and that they're safe. But, yeah, it was really sad. So the sheriff's office rallied up and got them a little bit of money to get some new clothes and some food. And friends and family also stepped up and did the same thing. People were bringing toothbrushes and food and things like that. And then friends also started a GoFundMe page and got them some additional money. So I don't wish that upon anybody, and it's always tough when you see it's somebody that you know, and you actually are there with them and see the emotion you know, they're just the things that we take for granted, the things that we have in those boxes, the relics, and now it's all gone. And, you know, a lot of their wedding things were lost, so, you know, it's kind of like starting over again. But again, we're just happy that they're okay. We had to get him all new uniforms, everything. He lost all of his work stuff. So, he's back at work and they're working, you know, with the fire marshal and the insurance company to try to get things going and see what the next step is here. I'm guessing that they're going to probably have to demolish the house and start mm-hmm. from scratch, but at least they're alive and, you know, kind of a tough way, especially at the holidays.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, that's something that I've known people who have gone through that, and you don't wish that on anyone.
No, it's, definitely not.
It's a long recovery.
Yeah,
recovery, but at least the you know, everybody in there got out.
And the pets were outside, and they have a heated shed for the pets, so that's nice, and so they didn't lose that, because we all know that pets are just as close as family to a lot of people. So,
all right, well, we wish the family continued success and rebuilding from that.
Definitely.
Sheriff, is there anything else you'd like to mention while we have you in here?
No, we're going to get to 25 degrees this weekend, I hear, so that's going to be kind of nice. But again, just a reminder to people, I know you're probably sick of me saying it, but please slow down when we're driving. We had a half dozen crashes yesterday morning. And, you know, people refer to it as black ice. You get the refreezing, the condensation. And so it's always a good reminder, just because you can see the road, don't think that it's necessarily safe. So, you know, drive the speed limit or less if the conditions warrant, because, you know, it's not worth rolling into the ditch and crashing into somebody else. So.
All right. Sheriff, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn. You're listening to 95.1 FM, AM 1080, KYMN Northfield.